start the podcast, even though this is pre-recorded and edited and released so much later than
it always when surprises record. Me.
But we're still live in my mind. Dennis, my co-host, Dennis Pacheco.
Hey, Alan, my co-host.
Hello.
Alan Matthews. Hi.
Listeners, welcome to The Pursuit of Perfectness, the only podcast where two average Joes who are a little hard on themselves and tend to have perfectionist tendencies come together once a week to try to explore that.
Yeah.
And try
we should probably tighten up our
I thought he was killing it.
No, it was really good, but like it was falling apart at the end. I could tell.
Fine. Why don't you clean it up for me?
Folks, it's a hard world. We're all dealing with stuff. Pursuit of Perfectness is here to tell you that you could probably be better at it. And you should feel bad. No.
Oh my God. That's so much worse.
No, that's not the message.
Woo! All right. Rough start.
Yep.
Dennis, how was your week?
Oh gosh, it was okay. I feel like I'm falling off the wagon a little bit on a lot of stuff because the perfectionism wagon. And the thing is, I'm really hard on myself. Oh, we found this list of like ways to tell you're a perfectionist on the internet, and I think it's like medically like probably like absolutely right on. But one of the things I read was like you're too hard on yourself, you procrastinate, and blah blah blah. And I do that. I procrastinate. And this week was kind of, not great for me. I procrastinated on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every day I wake up and I'm like, you know what? Today, that's fine. I'm going to be a little better. So today what I did was I looked around. My room's a mess. You know, I got a pile of trash, a pile of clothes. Usually I'm pretty good about keeping it clean. But I was like, I don't know what happened. Once one domino falls, the whole line of dominoes falls for me. It's like, it's got to be perfect or it's nothing at all. And like way too often for me, it's just nothing at all. And it's bad. And then I beat myself up for that. Mm. So today I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to put all the recycling, take all the recycling and trash out of my room. I'll do the cans. There's a lot of cans in here.
Lovely.
I won't hang up all the clothes on this chair, but I'll do like three of them. And I did that. And I sound like a slob. And you know what? This week I kind of am, but I'm working on it. And that's the thing. If you want to get stuff done, you got to work on it. Not everything's going to be perfect all the time, right? That's my week.
It's such a good point because on that list of perfectionist tendencies was this all or nothing mentality, right? So if I'm not going to do all the recycling, then I'm not going to do any of it, right? So just doing the cans, like being okay with like a portion of it is really a step in the right direction. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How was your week, Ellen?
My week was half so amazing and wonderful and half full of paranoia because I traveled to see family. And it was so great. So I visited my brother and his wife and kids, and my mom was there, and the other set of grandparents were there.
Is this Greg?
Yes, a previous guest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to this travel, I was like calling him and asking these questions, and because he's got kids who are unvaccinated. And so I'm like just over scheduling everything. And I'm like, we're going to be outside. I'm going to bring tests. I'm going to bring masks, like trying to be perfect, COVID perfect. Right. And he had to like talk me down and be like, you know, there's no like, outside isn't magic. Like you keep saying, like, we have to be outside. It's not like, it's not about eliminating risk. It's about reducing risk, right? That all or nothing mentality. You're never going to be 100% safe. There's always going to be a level of risk. It's just about reducing it, not eliminating it. So I had to really channel that philosophy this weekend to like calm down and just be like, it's about reducing. It's not about getting it 100%. And it was a lovely visit. It was my niece's fifth birthday, and she was so cute. And she got a magic wand, and I was using the magic wand to change her into different animals. And it was just, oh, It was lovely.
Oh, what a great age.
I know. It is a great age. Oh, anyways.
That is perfect that you talked about that, because I think we're going to talk a little bit about medical stuff and health stuff with our guest today, who is cooling her heels in our lavish green room.
It's so lavish. Velvet cushions, caviar, champagne, I think we laid out.
Yeah, a magnum of champagne. That's a unit of champagne, right? I don't know. Look, it's a real ritzy green room. Without further ado, because we can't think of any more specifics about this green room, apparently. I know I can't. Let's bring in our guest. She is an improviser, a teacher, a fantastic human being we've both known for years. Let's bring her in. Welcome, Hannah Chase. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. Clap. Thanks so much for having me, though I have to say I really did not want to leave that lavish, beautiful green room. Like, I just could have stayed there for the rest of my life. It was so wonderful.
We appreciate that. We lay out the red carpet for our guests, so.
Truly.
It costs twice my rent just to maintain that the snack bar in there.
Only twice your rent?
Yeah, just for the snack bar.
Okay.
How'd you like the lavish snacks?
The magnum of champagne,
mm-hmm.
I loved. That was on the snack bar. And yeah, lots of lobster and caviar. Yep. You know, classic snacks.
Classic snacks.
Yeah.
Rich people snacks.
Those are the only two rich snacks I can even think of. Literally.
The Ritz.
It's not doing a very crackers. Good yes anding here.
Oh.
Right? Ritz?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Very clever. Well, Hannah, we're so happy to have you. Thank you for joining us. Now, as you know, this podcast is all about the pursuit of perfectness. So, as we said, we tend to have perfectionist tendencies. Tell us about your personal experience with pursuing this perfectness in your life.
Yeah. So, I think it's probably something that happens everywhere in my life, like obviously at work and in my relationships, my friendships. But I feel like maybe the most interesting way in which I can try to pursue perfectness is when it comes to like being a medical patient. I feel like that's something that I like take a lot of pride in what a great patient I am, mm-hmm. and like what a knowledgeable patient I am, and what an easy and pleasant patient I am. Mm. And I deal with a lot of medical stuff, so I feel like I'm a patient quite often. And so I think that's maybe the most like interesting way in which this shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I guess you'll be the judge of that.
So
maybe it's not interesting at all.
No, you're overthinking
it. Yes, absolutely. So interesting. So do you feel like, is it kind of the doctors and medical professionals that you work with that you are trying to be perfect for? Like, are they the judge and jury? Mm.
Yeah, I think so. I want to be the perfect patient in the sense that like, I want to take great care of myself and all of that. But I would say, I also have like a pathological need to like, please and be liked by people.
Sure.
And so
it
manifests more. Yeah. Right. It's horrible, but I can't, I don't know how to fix it. So I feel like that my perfectionism then manifests more where there's like someone else to judge it. So it's like, if it's just in terms of my own self-care and how well I'm taking care of myself, not that many other people can like weigh in. But if it's how well I can like communicate about my symptoms or how knowledgeable I am about my disease or my favorite thing is like meeting a new doctor and having them ask me about my medical history and being able to like explain my medical history as if I am a doctor. Like that's like I take so much pride, and it's terrible because I feel like it ends up actually being like reinforcing, because I've gotten a lot of feedback from like new doctors being like, that's the best I've ever heard anyone describe. They're not like literally
dopamine
and
hit.
So then I feel like I'm like, oh, I gotta keep this up. So anyway, yeah, that's sort of, I think they are the judges.
Yeah. You know, Go ahead, Dennis.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, so, just what you were saying. So it's, you want to impress these people. I guess the closest thing I can, like, relate to is, like, my dentist.
I was literally really? About to say the same thing, like, about if they tell me that, like, my gums look really good and they can tell I've been flossing, like, my day is made.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
It's so encouraging, like, my dentist... He's like, whatever you're doing, keep it up. And I'm just like, yeah, baby.
And then when you let them down, it feels bad. It feels personal.
Well, this week I haven't been, this is bad, but I haven't been doing any like oral care before bed.
Oh, Dennis. Usually
I know. Just like three nights in a row, I've just been like, I can't.
You're just like too tired.
It's not even that I'm tired. I don't know.
You're just like,
you're a rebel.
I'm just like, everything is falling apart.
Yeah.
And this is part of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're embracing the chaos.
The house of cards falling down. Look, wow. This is not about me.
No, let's get into this.
Yeah. I like this.
Yeah, it's just that like all or nothing thing. For me, this week, there's been a lot of nothing. not enough all.
So, Hannah, this is so fascinating, and I relate to it. Do you feel like the perfectionism is more about like your knowledge of what's going on? Or like, do you also feel like a need to perform? Or like, do you feel like maybe you have control over the situation or try to have control over an uncontrollable situation?
I think it's probably a bunch of those things. It's definitely partially about the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like I like seeming real. I like being knowledgeable about my own body and like my own medical history and all of that. And it's very hard because I feel like doctors are always asking you these questions that like, I think a lot of people don't have very concrete answers to. It's like, well, it hurts here. And so I feel like I want to be able to give a doctor like really specific enough information and like specific enough context and history and like to describe like exactly where it hurts and exactly what I think it is. And I sound like such an I feel like this makes me sound really obnoxious, but my hope is that it is helpful for them. But I think there's also an element of I'm not exactly answering your question, but I think another piece of this is that I want to be like a really easy patient. Mm-hmm. And so like, I never want to, I don't want to ever like overreact. And like, I want to like, take things that are painful, like in stride. Like I never want to be like a whiny, like, I don't know, if somebody's doing something, some sort of a procedure that might be painful, I want to be like really stoic about it.
Yeah.
I never want to like call my doctor anxious about something that isn't real. Like I always want to only call my doctors when like there's real cause to be concerned. I want them to be like, you know that Hannah, like she only calls me when she needs to call me. But every time she does call me, she's right about what's going on. Like that's my... As if my doctors sit around in a room, like, talking about the kind of patient that I am.
I bet doctors talk about their patients.
I once got... In the break room. This is like earlier in my medical patient life, but there was one point where I, like, got a big file of, like, all of my medical records because I had to bring them from one person to another. And did you know that, like, when a doctor refers you to another doctor, like... The doctor has to like write a thank you to the first doctor. Like it's this very weird sort of formal process. It's protocol. Like if I refer you to like a dermatologist, the dermatologist then has to write to me and be like, thank you so much for referring Ellen and like a comment about you, Ellen. And feel like early on, I got to read through these and I saw like someone be like, this was when I was like 21 or something, but it was like, she was one of the most like pleasant young women I've ever met. And I was like, oh my God, this is the night. Like, I'm sure they just say that all the time, but I feel like that's
I bet they don't.
They do talk about you. Like right. there's some communication about, about you. And so now I'm like, shit, I gotta be pleasant all the time, which is hard when you feel like crap all the time. Like, I feel like it becomes a little bit hard when you're only seeing these people when you are not feeling all that pleasant.
Right.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like to me, Hannah? It sounds like you are navigating being a woman in society.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis. Yeah.
Get out of here, Dennis.
All right, I gotta go.
No, but like everything you're saying is like hitting my soul. Like this, I gotta be pleasant all the time. I can't sound hysterical. Like I'm overreacting. Like I need to be specific. I need to please. Like, oh man. Like I feel all those things. And it makes me sad that like, that just follows women everywhere, like even at the freaking doctor's office when like this is about you and like your comfort should be the focus and like they're working for you and we still feel that, you know, need. And I think it's warranted because like there's been plenty of articles, you know, saying that like women aren't listened to as much as men and, you know, the word hysteria comes from like, isn't that like a term that comes from like hysterectomy or
it's some like a sort wandering of uterus?
Yeah.
I feel like there's like, right? Like there was something. Yes. I know it's all very depressing and sad.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Totally. It's funny. I don't think that I had like made that connection in my own head, but certainly that's how I feel like everywhere in my life, unfortunately. I do think it's just like what it is like to be a woman across multiple different like arenas in life.
Totally.
But I feel like this is one of those areas that is like self-reinforcing because when I do show up this way, like I think I end up having a really good relationship with my doctors. I end up getting like really good specific care that is tailored to what I need because I'm able to like very clearly spell out what I need. And so I think it's a tricky one to turn off because it's like, so the benefit is so clear and
that's
like the harm is not as clear. Because it's like a little more diffuse, just like general harm where there's a very specific benefit. I don't know if that makes any sense.
You lost me there.
No,
I feel like all of these behaviors have like a good side and a bad side. Like the bad side is that it like causes me to be really like anxious and stressed and in my head and feel pressure to perform and whatever it might be. But the good side is like, well, this behavior actually like makes people like me better and or makes it like has a good, you know, a good side to it. And I feel like with this in particular, the downside of this behavior isn't as evident as the upside of this behavior.
Yeah, because another way to look at it is that like you're advocating for yourself, right? Like you're like, I know what I need to do in order to be heard, in order to get what I need, in order to get things done. So I'm going to go in and I'm just going to do what I need to do because, you know, even though doctors like are the experts, I think that you're like the person who's in the body is really the expert, right? I
totally,
you know? And so you know best. You are actually the person that knows best.
At this point, you probably have had the same doctors for a long time and don't have to deal with a lot of new doctors, right? Because I feel like when you're dealing with new doctors, it's like you really have to advocate for yourself because you don't know what they're like. Or like the worst feeling for me when I see a doctor or a nurse practitioner or whatever is when I can tell that they're not listening to me.
Ugh.
And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're going to say. And it's like, you don't know what I'm going to say just because you think you know what I'm going to say. You know what I mean? And then you end up saying the same thing like three times until it finally like sinks in. You know, I just, that's the worst.
Yeah, I feel like, it's always shitty when someone isn't listening to you, no matter where you are in life or what. But I think especially when you're talking about something that's like scary or physical, I do have I have certain doctors that I've seen forever. Fun fact, I've had 11 surgeries over the last, like, I don't know, 15 years. And wow. One surgeon did, like, my first three. They were all, like, part of one major sort of series of surgeries. And his son did all of the other ones, which I think is sort of cool.
Wow.
So I've always had a Green, their last name is Greenstein. So I've always had, like, a Greenstein doctor. And I have, you know, my GI doctors are, which is where my most of my issues are, have been the same. But I do still often need to see new doctors. And I feel like one thing I'm dealing with now is I'm trying. Recently, I've been seeing a lot of new doctors. And I'm trying to get clarity on something that is, like, sort of a crossover of multiple disciplines. And, like, that's really tricky because any one doctor I see is only, like, really an expert in their area. And so trying to fully communicate, like, the gravity of the situation in this other area to them is, I feel like, is confusing. Also, wow. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but
no, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. New doctors and old doctors. They're both in there.
Yeah. And then to have to, like, connect everything for them. It's just, this is starting to sound like a full-time job.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Though it, like, I feel like it, in many ways, it's, like, made me much more organized as a human being.
Oh, there you,
like,
go.
It's actually probably gotten me to advocate for myself more. Like, I see the results of it, mm-hmm. like, bleed outside of, it's a terrible, like, medical metaphor, but I do see these results, like, gushing. Seep into the rest of my, yeah, gush.
You're
just as
pus. The rest of your life is becoming septic.
But totally, I'm much more organized. I'm much more, in touch with my body, which is frankly like a thing that I struggled with, like, earlier in life. I feel like I'm better at articulating my needs. So I guess it does have its benefits. Yeah. I'm sorry. This isn't funny at all. Is this podcast supposed to be funny? I feel like I am.
It's
such a downer.
This is really interesting.
And thank you for being so open. I know that this stuff can be, you know, really personal. So we appreciate you sharing this with us.
Yeah.
Of course. It's really important. And there's a lot of people that I'm sure are going through similar situations. And so I think it's great that you share your experience, and I know that you've written about it a lot, and I'm sure, do people reach out to you and, like, say, like, oh my God, I've been dealing with this too? And
sometimes, like, I feel like I don't have as many. I wrote one thing, like, a few years ago that got more attention, and I feel like then I had a few people reaching out to me, mostly being like, thanks, like, I also feel this way, and it's nice to, like, know that someone else also feels this way. I feel like maybe less so now. I feel like it's just my, like, friends and family who are reading the things that I write, and they're like, Hannah, we know this stuff.
Do you want to talk about that article, or do you want to let it go to the?
Oh, I don't know. What?
Well,
I'm happy to talk about it. I'll say,
even if you don't hear the, like, thanks or whatever, know that it's there, because I shared one of your articles with my friend who she suffers from endometriosis, and so she deals with chronic pain, and how it affects her social life, it affects everything. And you wrote this article about your experience just having to, like, cancel plans or, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, rearranging your life. And it just reminded me so much of my conversations with my own friend. And so I, like, sent it to her, and she really appreciated it. And it was just, like, again, it wasn't the same, you know, condition, but, like, that sense of, like, you know, having to deal with something all the time, I just think is, like, it must be powerful to hear that other people experience that. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ellen. Yeah.
So it's,
yeah, I do think, like, more people are dealing with stuff that we can't see than we know. Like, whether it's, like, a physical condition or, like, a neurological, like, I feel like there's just a lot of stuff going on for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to, I don't always do a great job of it, but I do try as much as possible to, like, remember that and give people the benefit of the doubt if they're annoying me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like, well, You know, because I'm sure, like, I've annoyed people with behaviors of mine, or, like, you know, I think sometimes, like, I know at work, sometimes, I don't know, I don't need to talk about work here, but I feel like there are times where I'm in a meeting and I'm, like, in a lot of pain, and I after that meeting have gotten feedback that's like, you know, you showed up as sort of negative in that meeting.
Ugh.
And it's like, I know, it's like, you don't know what's going on in my body right now. And yeah. So I feel like now when I have this, like, cause you know, we're going through our days so quickly that like we have these sort of instant reactions to things and to people and to things that people say and do. And I try as much as possible to remember, like, I don't know what's going on for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm just gonna leave it alone.
I wish more people would act like that, because like, it makes me so mad that someone would be like, you showed up negative in that meeting, instead of being like, hey, is everything okay with you? Because you know what I mean? Like, how about asking if something's fine instead of just like, I don't care what's happening with you, but your vibe is bringing us down.
Also, I don't know if you feel this way, Ellen. Sorry. I'm zeroing in, because I feel like Ellen and I have a similar like affect to our, you know, selves and communication. And I feel like I am so positive, like 99.9% of the time. And like my face is always smiling and I'm like very enthusiastic. And so if I drop that, like the teeniest, tiniest bit, I'm still like extremely, exceedingly positive and friendly and all that. But like, if it just drops a tiny bit, I feel like everyone is like, something's wrong with Hannah.
All the
or
time.
Like, you're doing, it's just, it's very frustrating.
All the time. I've been told that I have resting bitch face, which I absolutely do not. I absolutely do not have resting bitch face, which is, for anybody that doesn't know, it's a, it's what you call women when they're not smiling. and they're resting their face, meaning not smiling, and they look mad or angry, or that is what it is perceived. And I feel like it's because, like you, like I'm always smiling. I'm always trying to put out a positive energy. So if I rest my face for a freaking second.
How dare
how
you rest your face,
dare
Ellen?
You? How dare you? I had somebody come up to me at work. I was like working a check-in line for some event, and this man came up to me and he was like, you should really smile while you're doing this job because you look scary when you're not smiling. And
I'm
like,
says more about that guy than about you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I was like, okay. Oh, I hate that so much.
Listen,
I hate that
I'm
so
afraid
much.
Of women. This is your problem. This is your problem.
I know this is a audio podcast, but Dennis, look at Hannah and my faces right now. We're not going to smile.
Here's the problem. I actually like am incapable of not smiling. I'm gonna try. No, it's true. I'm not trying to be funny. Like this is. I will try, but it's gonna. I'm still gonna look like I'm smiling. But yes, Ellen, you also do it. And Dennis, tell us what you see.
This is great for audio.
We'll
Dennis, you have to describe what you're looking at.
Okay. So here's what I'm seeing.
I'm going to screenshot us right now while we do this, and we'll post it.
I'll also do a resting face.
Okay. Just rest your face.
I can't.
It's very hard. I'm trying to look really serious.
What feelings came up for you when you saw two unsmiling women?
I didn't have any feelings.
Have any feelings?
No.
Dig deeper, Dennis.
Show me again. I'll describe your faces and how they make me feel.
Okay.
Ellen's mad at me.
See? It goes straight to
And Hannah does not want to be here with me.
Negative.
Because of me.
And false.
Yeah. But it's because of me. Yeah. I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now if we were now imagine we're men. What do you see?
Okay, do that. Like, put your finger over your lips like a mustache.
Now we have fingers as mustaches.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure I have. I'm going to go get a mustache.
Please.
Thank you. We need, because this experiment needs to be airtight.
I know, especially this visual experiment that none of these listeners will ever understand.
Except for the Patreon subscribers that we don't have. We don't have a Patreon.
Just to remind the listeners, Hannah is putting on a fake mustache so that Dennis can perceive her unsmiling face as a male.
And then I'll see how I feel about
and
that.
And then we'll see how it's pre- I do not have a fake mustache, so I'll be using a finger.
I place. Have a wig I can put on. If you want to tell me how I'm perceived as a woman.
Am I supposed to take the back off of this mustache to stick it on my face? It's very hard to peel the back off.
I don't know.
Oh, there we go.
Just hold it.
Okay, all right. Now show me. Wow. Now show me not smiling, and I'll tell you how I feel.
Not smiling. Wow. Serious. Okay. I'm taking him seriously. Yeah.
Like, this person is smart.
I need to promote this person.
Yeah. This person knows what they're talking about. I'm sorry. Knows what he is talking about. I want to shake this man's hand.
I want to start a business with this man.
You know, if he's got a pitch, I want to hear it.
I
want to get in on the ground floor of something. Oh, you know what? I can't waste this guy's time.
That's the only way that I...
You pursed... Listener, she pursed her lips to keep the mustache perched. And became very intense.
Well, I think we just proved our theory with that experiment.
Yeah. What about me? What do you see when I don't smile?
You look like you're deep in thought, like you're being very philosophical.
Hmm.
Like you're really thinking deeply about something.
Yeah. You're like in a situation. Ooh, this mustache is restricting my mouth.
You don't have to keep that on for the rest of this.
No, I'm keeping it on. I think it's an important part of this podcast. I feel like, Dennis, you look like you are deep in thought. And if I were like 24, I would have been like, what are you thinking about? But I've learned not to ask that question. And you would be like, I'm not thinking about anything. And I would think you were lying. That's like the exchange that I. Oh, this is just clearly more about me than it is.
It's always
you.
It's always about how we perceive, right? It's like never about the other person.
Mm-mm. Hannah, though, I'm just learning how similar we are in this podcast because I feel like every time I have asked a boyfriend when they're like staring off and looking so deep and mysterious, and I'm like, "What are you thinking about?" And they're like,
"The music, man."
That bridge is constructed in this way. And I'm like, you're always thinking about like the most like logistical, like it is never anything interesting or deep or mysterious. It is always like, I was thinking about the Lions playing the game, like, you know, like football. Like, it's just so uninteresting.
I do that to my girlfriend, and I get like the funniest, like, I don't want to call her out, but I'll be like, what are you thinking about? And she'll be like, that scene in True Blood where Eric is like, you know, she's just
that's,
like.
That's interesting.
Very interesting.
Tell me about that scene. What about that scene? Like, da 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 da.
I don't know.
I'd rather that answer.
Yes, much better than like, I'm literally thinking about nothing, which I feel like I've gotten quite a number of times. Or more frequently, it's like, I am looking at that bird. It's not even, that's too interesting. It is like logistical and tactical and not.
But you're
something
right.
That's very visible in front of your face.
Yes, that's it. Because the bridge thing, like they were staring out into the window and they're like, no, I'm looking at that bridge and thinking about like the mechanics of that bridge. And so I'm like, so you're literally just like, what is wrong with men is turning into the...
I'm sorry that this has become just...
And I'm like,
she's telling me about some show
I
she
love
watched.
It. Well, because like I stare off into space and I think about the universe and I think about feelings and I think about history. And it's like you can literally only see what's in front of you. Like you can't.
Ellen, how many times a day... Think about it. How many times a day do you think about history versus a TikTok that you saw?
Well, I don't understand how those are exclusive things. Listen, TikTok is just videos of thoughts. Think about it.
Ooh. Whoa.
Think about it.
Deep.
You heard it here first. You know what? I'm being very judgmental and dismissive of TikTok because it's young and I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I own that. I'm going to own that.
That's big of you.
Yeah, I'm going to get a wig.
I feel like,
and put it on, oh, so sorry. You can see how I look like.
No,
as a
no,
woman.
No. I want Hannah's take on TikTok.
Yeah, Hannah.
While you do this, TikTok. Connecting TikTok. To
this is a new segment of the show called TikTok.
This all or nothing mentality that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. Yes. I feel like TikTok is one of these things. I don't feel negative feelings about it, mm-hmm. but I like don't engage with it because I'm overwhelmed by how much content is on it. And I feel like I either worry that I will like get so sucked in that I will never do anything else with my life, or I worry that like I will feel pressure to keep up with like trends and popular TikTok. I don't know, but I sort of have like made the conscious choice to not really spend much time on TikTok because I feel like I won't be able to do it in moderation.
Yeah. And I think that's fair.
Dennis just came back wearing I don't even know what to call this haircut. It's sort of like a bob, a pretty short haircut.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a woman's wig.
It's a woman's wig.
From like the early 2000s, I'd say the style.
It has like politician vibe to me.
Yes.
All right. Now I'm going to give you neutral face as a woman.
Okay.
Tell me how you perceive me.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my God. She's about to ask for the manager. I mean, was that not the face of like, you're going to get in trouble? Like, this is my teacher about to give me detention right now.
Yes, 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 yes. This is not, this has a neg, this is not someone just sort of neutrally staring into space and deep in thought. This is someone who's about to chastise me or punish me in some way. Yes, yes, yes.
There's judgment behind those eyes.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for these listeners who can see none of this. But you should, this is maybe an experiment to do with your friends. Get them to give you their neutral face as is. Then get them to put on some sort of superficial indicator of an alternative gender and see what you think.
I love that Dennis and I are crashing and burning and you are... with the golden heart that you have trying to save us.
Are you kidding? This is gold. This is no, so good.
Hannah is metaphorically lifting you and I and running out of a burning building. That is what's happening right now.
All right, well, let's collect ourselves.
She's making lemonade out of lemons, and I love it.
All right, let's collect ourselves and let's take a quick break.
Okay.
All right? All right.
We're back.
Oh, wiping off the dust and soot.
Wiping off the dust.
I ran back into that green room and
finished off with champagne. Amazing.
I got a quick like foot massage by that woman you have there.
It was on fire.
Massages. Mm-hmm.
You had to go back in to get the foot massage. She's okay. She made it out. She's very well paid.
Oh, commitment to the bit.
Yeah. Well, we are outside now because our studio burned down. Okay, no, that bit's over, right? Okay.
Wow, we've learned so a lot today.
So, Hannah, I feel like a lot of your wanting to make other people like you, and you want to make other people comfortable. I don't know if you said that. Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth.
No, I think
that goes hand in hand with like being a moral person and like being a good person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you? I feel like these all go together. So I don't feel like I'm going too far afield here. But do you feel like that's something that you strive to do or be?
Yes, like very much so. And I feel like I have a real thing about like. Being a good person, but also about like fairness. Like I'm very, 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 very attached to like wanting things to feel fair. And when they don't, I'm like incensed. And I'm like not, I'm a pretty like, it's hard to rattle me. Like I don't get angry very easily. Like I'm relatively sort of, I don't know what the right word is. Like,
even I don't know.
Even keeled. Thank you. Relatively like positive most of the time. But if I feel like I'm seeing like injustice, or if I'm being treated unfairly, or seeing someone treated unfairly, like I feel like that's when like, you know, resting bitch face Hannah comes out or whatever. The actual like the actual version of that Hannah emerges. Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Can we what?
I was going to say, can we see what that looks like?
I don't feel it right now. So it's, you're like,
you can't
if I did it for
it's
you,
gotta
you
be
can't.
Method,
it's
right?
going to, it's going to look like I'm like putting on like a mean face, and it's going to look like a cartoon. Yeah. It's going to look like a 5-year-old trying to look mean.
Okay.
But yes, I do. I don't care what remember what your question was, but I do want to be a good person. Yeah. Morality and like ethics and values, like all of that stuff is very important to me.
And fairness, right?
Fairness is really super, super important to me. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good value. It's a good value.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I associate, not to get political here.
Do it.
I associate like valuing fairness with like left of center sort of politics.
I am trying to think that through because certainly I am left of center. And I too would associate fairness with that because I think of a lot of the, but I'm curious if someone who's a bit more right of center would argue, not to go too far down a political rabbit hole, but I wonder if someone who's a bit more right of center would still feel that actually what they are for is fairness as well. And we're just like looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. I guess, all right, that's fair, so to speak.
touche.
I wasn't trying to do that, but it came out. Cool. All right, so this is the part of the podcast. Ellen, you look like you had something on your mind. No? Or were you just thinking about that bridge over there?
No, I am always deep in thought. I'm never thinking of the thing that's right in front of me. I am thinking deeply and philosophically at all times.
Yeah.
But please continue.
I was just going to say, like, this is the part of the show where, of course, we do this podcast for you, listener. This is the part where we give you advice on your life and prescriptions. So we're going to throw this open to everybody, me, Ellen, Hannah. Anything that we want to tell people, give them advice about, say, how to be a good enough medical patient or you know, how to not beat yourself up if you're not perfect at health. We didn't even get into COVID teeth. But
anyway. I know there was so much to cover.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
I'll say, just like I always say every week, don't be so hard on yourself. But it's good to come in really, here's my takeaway from what you said, Hannah. It's good to be very specific with what is going on with you so that you can describe it to your doctor. And it's good to advocate for yourself, especially as a woman, if I may speak for the women. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a man.
You may.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman or sometimes even a person of color like me has to double advocate for themselves. In my experience, sometimes I feel like people don't take me seriously, that people maybe don't automatically give me respect in certain situations. And sometimes you gotta push. You have to say things 2 or 3 times. I don't know.
Totally.
And be okay with doing that.
Yeah, I think like the part of what I do that is good is probably that part. And the part of what I do that is bad is feeling like I want to be easy for doctors and nurses. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to like annoy them. And I feel like that, dear listener, is what I would caution you against. Like I feel like it is super important for you to take your physical symptoms your emotional symptoms seriously, for you to advocate for what you need. Like you said, Ellen, like you are the most knowledgeable about yourself. And so I think probably a lot of us like feel like we have to make ourselves like smaller and easier for others to deal with. And I would say like, no, don't do that. Like make yourself big and advocate for what you need. I don't always do it, but that's what I would recommend.
Well, that's par for the course, right? We all know what to do, and then actually doing it ourselves is the challenging part. I love that. I love these final thoughts. I will add for my final thought about people pleasing, because we talked about that a little bit, right? Wanting to please people and make sure that everyone's happy. And I heard, probably on TikTok, that people pleasing is a form of manipulation. And that's like, to put it in that lens makes it like, oh, whoa, I don't want to do that, right? So I like to say that because it makes it, it kind of like flips the script and being like, oh, wait, I don't want to do that.
That's a scorching hot take.
Right. Thank you. Again, it wasn't an original thought. I'm borrowing this. And it's also a need to control another person's feelings, right? Mm. And we can't actually control another person's feelings. We can only control ourselves. And so, trying to people please, not only is it a form of manipulation, but it's also a futile task, right? Mm. Because you can never affect another person's feelings. You can only control what you yourself do. And so my final thoughts would be just follow your own, you know, judgment and moral code, and whatever other people, however they respond to that, is ultimately up to them.
Mm-hmm.
That is perfect. And I feel like we should just end it there. So I hope you cut this out. But I do.
Well, thanks for having me, ladies.
No, please. What did it make you think of?
It made me think of, just to that point about people pleasing. It's like, I definitely have a lot of pretty significant people pleasing instincts or whatever. Not instincts.
Same.
That's
same.
Behaviors. But most of my favorite people are not people pleasers. Like
same.
Most of the people that I like the most, that I yes. want to hang out with the most, are people who are like super, super authentically themselves.
Yes.
So much so that like someone might be like, eh, that person's not my cup of tea. And I feel like that's what I aspire to be, like so authentically myself that someone could choose to like not really like me very much.
Yeah.
And
that be okay.
I hope to someday, yes, that be okay. Instead of trying to be like likable to everyone, mm-hmm. which sort of waters your authenticity down. So mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I try. I mean, but I really want people that I respect to like me. And when it's somebody like that I don't know or care about or respect, if they don't like me, my attitude is usually like, well, that's none of my business.
Dennis, we could learn something from you.
It's so true. You do not strike me as a people pleaser, but I like you. and I don't like you. No, but like you're definitely the kind of like, sometimes I'll see you react to people, and it's so funny because like you'll say things to people like, I don't agree with that, or like you'll just be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Like you're just like honest, right? And I feel like sometimes I'll sugarcoat and I'll be like, uh-huh, right? Just to like be pleasant and polite. And I feel like you'll just be like a little more honest where you'll be like, I completely disagree with that. And be fine with like that assertion.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. This is a compliment.
Thank you. At the same time, I
totally agree.
I am terrified that the people that I like don't like me. You know what I mean?
You have like a perpetual fear of that.
Yeah. Like that comes back a lot. I was like, oh, that person, I haven't heard from that person in a while. I guess they don't like me anymore. That's sad because I like them still. So, you know, I don't know.
It's so interesting. It is. And it's interesting that, like, the root of this conversation really was about people pleasing, right? Like, all the other stuff we were talking about, if you kind of just look at the root cause, it's people pleasing.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a form of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to end it.
To end, we've learned so much.
Yeah. Hannah, do you have anything you want to plug, let our listeners know about?
You know, nothing too exciting. I perform in a show called The Armando Diaz Experience Saturdays at 7:30 at the Magna Theater. I write from time to time. You can find what I've written, most of it on Medium. My name is Hannah Chase. I have no idea what my like Medium handle is. I should
Google
know.
It.
I don't. Me right now? Google
no,
it?
Not you. No, God, no. I'm being rude to our listeners, of course. Never to our guests.
Yeah. Hannah Chase. It's just at Hannah Chase. So
oh, how
that
perfect.
Was simpler than I thought. Yeah, that's it.
Great.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Ellen, Hannah, thank you. Sorry. Ugh, I'm just like, I'm so glad Hannah could join. Plugs for me, Magna Theater as well. Just magnatheater.com. Just like check out the whole website in general.
Yeah, great website, great user interface. very friendly, intuitive even. I also want to plug Magna Theater. That's where I perform and teach. I also do the ADX. If you want to come down to the Magna Theater some Saturday night, I'll probably be there at 7:30. Buy tickets online. Be vaccinated, please, because otherwise you won't be able to get in. And we want you to be vaccinated. In fact, get vaccinated if you're not.
Even if you're not coming to the Magnet.
Even if you're not coming to the Magnet.
Just do it. It's a good thing to do. And if this changes your mind, wow.
If this pushes you over the edge, then we will have done our job.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what else?
Until next time.
Okay.
Dennis, it's like we're so in sync.
We're so in sync.
It's like we're reading each other's minds.
Minds. And till next time, let's talk about some other stuff. I want to thank Keith Bergen for our music. Thank you, Keith, for that lovely intro music. We want to thank me for the podcast artwork. There's other shows on this Let's Hear It Network. You should check those out. Made Up Talk Show, which I've been on, is real hoot. We also got Page by Page and Tell Me Where I'm Going. Folks, it's a growing network. Fantastic. So like now we can end the show. We're so in sync. We both got to this point together. Thank you, Hannah, on behalf of me. I won't speak for the woman. that's how I call Ellen sometimes, the woman.
The woman. Yeah.
Dennis Pacheco and the woman.
Like a morning zoo crew. I'm Dennis Pacheco, and I'm the woman! Thank you, Hannah. This has been so much fun.
Thank you so much for having
me. Absolute dream.
You're the best.
I'm just going to write down on my chart here. Perfect guest.
Even if we weren't recording this, it was just lovely to visit with you.
So great.
I agree.
So great to see you. Honestly, so great to see you.
Let's not let it go too long. All right.
And I really genuinely like both of you. So just
oh,
so you
God.
Know, I Thank hope you God. I hope you don't worry. I don't know. Not
and
that you,
I
you
like
don't worry,
you.
Ellen, but you worry, Dennis. Maybe
I like you, Hannah,
don't.
Too.
And I like you,
Thank
Ellen.
You.
Very much.
I like you, Ellen.
And
that's it? Okay, we're done. All right.
That's our job.